Sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryan karavavahai, tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Page 17. Chapter 4 summarizes questions and answers. Prigat Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami 6:11 of Srimad Bhagavatam.
4.
Hmm?
4 it says?
What did I say?
No, you said chapter 4. It says chapter 4, but I believe it's chapter 8. Mm-hmm. No.
But the top it says chapter 8.
Yeah. It would make more sense since we just completed chapter 7. Anyway.
Yes, unless of course he is just summarizing chapter 4 here.
That is true. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:8-1-2. King Parikit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "My Lord, kindly explain the Vishnu mantra armor that protected King Indra and enabled him to conquer his enemies, along with his carriers, and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. Please explain to me that Narayana armor by which King Indra achieved success in battle, conquered the enemies who were endeavoring to kill him." Yes, so it looks like it's chapter 8. This question is answered throughout this 8th chapter. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 8th chapter describes how Vishwarup teaches the Narayana Kavacha to Indra, and Indra defeats the demons. To take protection of the shield, one must first touch Kushagrash and wash one's mouth with Achman mantras. One should observe silence and then place the 8-syllable Vishnu mantra on the parts of his body and place the 12-syllable mantra on his hands. The 8-syllable mantra is Om Namo Narayanaya. This mantra should be distributed all over the front and back of the body. The 12-syllable mantra, which begins with the pranava omkars, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. One syllable should be placed on each of the fingers and should be preceded by the pranava omkar. Thereafter, one must chant Om Vishnuve Namaha, which is a 6-syllable mantra. One must progressively place the syllables of the mantra on the heart, the head, between the two eyebrows, on the sika, and between the eyes. And then one should chant Ma Ashraya Fat, and with his mantra protect himself from all directions. Na Devo Devam Archayet. One who has not risen to the level of a deva cannot chant this mantra. According to this direction of the Shastra, one may think himself qualitatively non-different from the Supreme. Okay? So, nyasas like this. So this is a particular nyas of Narayan mantra. So generally, we as Gaudiyas, we don't use these systems to place the mantras on. Nyas means where you're putting all the different mantras, placing them on the body. Yes, but they're specific pancharatric systems are like that that are used like that. Yeah, means like Om Keshavayanam Om Narayanam Om Namadavayanam Om, like this. You put these different ones like this, but you're using bigger mantras. And with that, you're putting each one on there. The different joints are like this, and then different parts of the body. So we'll use them on the deity, like that. Because so when we do that, we use Gopal Nyasa on the deity, but we don't put them on ourselves because it's considered a Vaikuntha mood. So it's one of 5 different things that we don't use: Dwarka Dhyanam, Rukmini Puja, the Kusagrass rings, the Nyasas. And because this is this particular system is used by the Vaishnavas. No, stamps aren't, because it's the Gaudiyas who make those stamps. Oh, Shankar Chakra. Yeah. Generally, we're not so. We don't use. I think that's more for the initiation. I'm not sure if that's one of the five. Vishnu Chakravarti Chakra mentions it. So it's the aspect of Ahangropasmi, that one is qualitatively the same as the Lord. I think Prabhupada will bring that up in the purports. So we generally don't use those ones, because the Mayavadis, then they take that and say, I've become the Lord. But for the Vaishnavas, I become qualitatively, therefore now I can serve. Right? Because now you're on the same platform, so therefore now I can serve. We're on the same platform, but he's superior. Because it doesn't say quantitatively. He's unlimitedly greater. We're small. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And we don't give them because of this.
It's a Vaikuntha move. And it also says, unless you come to the platform of a Deva, you cannot chant this mantra. So that means, one, is like we discussed before, in the Deva form, then it will work. You can do also sometimes is put it on the other way. Because they roll in.
Yeah.
And then you, after a while, put it on inside out. Then they're out, and then they'll go back the other way.
Yeah. Neutralize.
Yes. But at the same time, someone as a devotee technically could. But the point is because they have the qualities of the devatas, so that therefore they can use the mantra in its actual purpose of the potency of the mantra. But actually placing it on the body, that seems it's not recommended, because Prabhupada mentioned we don't use it. So that's one, is the devatas are there, plus you have the aspect is that we don't use it. Though there's proper mantras. And then what should chant? Oh, no. After finishing this dedication, one must offer a prayer to the eight-armed Lord Vishnu, who sits on the shoulders of Garudadeva. One also has to think of the fish incarnation, Vamana, Kurma, Nisringa, Varaha, Parasaram, Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana, Narnarayan, Dattatreya, an empowered incarnation, Kapila, Sanat Kumar, Hayagriva, Narada Dev, the incarnation of a devotee, Dhanvantari, Rishabdeva, Yajna, Balaram, Vyasadev, Buddhadev, and Keshava. One should also think of Govinda, the master of Vrindavan, and one should think of Narayana, the master of the spiritual sky. One should think of Madhusudana, Tridhama, Madhava, Hrishikesh, Padmanabha, Janardana, Damodar, and Vishveshwara, as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. After offering prayers to the Lord's personal expansions, known as the Swamsa and Shaktivesh avatars, one should pray to the weapons of Lord Narayana, such as the Sudarshan, Gada, Shankha, Gata, Khadga, and Bow.
What's the
Khadga. Sword. Now that distinguishes from Lakshman, who's the younger brother of Lord Ram. No, it's just they're just pointing it out. Yeah, I mean, they could point out any of them. After explaining this process, Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Prickett how Vishwarup, the brother of Vritrasura, described the glories of the Narayana Kavacha to Indra. Shloka Anusharana, summary of verses 1-11, invoking the protection of the Lord, 12-34. Chanting the Narayana Kavacha prayers, 35-42, the potency of the Narayana Kavacha shield, verses 1-11. King Parikit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "My Lord, kindly explain the Vishnu mantra armor that protected King Indra and enabled him to conquer his enemies." along with their carriers, and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. Please explain to me that Narayana armor by which King Indra achieved success in battle, conquered the enemies who were endeavoring to kill him. Verses 1 to 2. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, King Indra, the leader of the demigods, inquired about the armor known as Narayana Kavacha from Vishwarup, who was engaged by the demigods as their priest. Please hear Vishwarup's reply with great attention. Vishwarup said, if some form of fear arrives, one should first wash his hands and legs clean and then perform achmai by chanting this mantra, Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabahya bhyantara suchihi Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. Right? So this standard mantra, we're using this also. Right? You know, we'll go, wow, really? That's a Vedic mantra? Because it's kind of like all of our stuff is made up or something. You know? Like that. But it's like all of our stuff is just traditional things. In fact, we tend to use the older stuff than the more, you know, things that others might use instead. Does that make sense? It would be, let's say, there's mantras that are there that have always been used. They're the oldest, you know, the oldest in just regular use. But there may be some alternatives, but generally everyone uses this particular standard. So the smartas use it, everybody uses it, right? But then let's say Ramanujacharya comes along, because the smartas are using it, he uses that alternative one because it has, let's say, a word in it or something that mentions Vishnu instead of something else. You know, it's all about Vishnu, but this one it may. So he'll take that. So, but we'll generally be using that same old one that the smartas would use. That the Goswamis, whoever it is, they pull out whatever mantras are to be used. You know, so there's standard things. So a lot of what we do, like some mantras that you hear is chant of the elephant procession and this and that. If you go at programs around India where they, you know, especially south where they do Vedic chanting of mantras during their festivals and that, you'll hear many of the same mantras. Like that. So they're just standard stuff. One should then touch kusa grass and sit gravely and silently facing north. When completely purified, one should touch the mantra composed of 8 syllables for the 8 parts of the body, and touch the mantra composed of 12 syllables to his hands. Thus, in the following manner, he should bind himself from the Narayana coat of armor. First, while chanting the mantra composed of 8 syllables, Om Namo Narayanaya, beginning with the pranava, the syllable Om, one should touch his hands to 8 parts of his body, starting with the 2 feet, and progressing systematically to the knees, thighs, abdomen, heart, chest, mouth, and head. Then one should chant the mantra in reverse, beginning from the last syllable, ya, while touching the parts of his body in reverse order, right? So this is, the 8th syllable is, what did it say? Om Namo Narayanaya. So then you'll be saying it actually backwards. Where was that? Yeah, like that. Yeah. Ya na. Ya. No. Aya na ya. Ra no. Man. Mo. Yes. So that's the point. Demigods can do this kind of stuff. We yes, we chant like this. And even that sometimes we have.
Right.
These two processes are known as Utpatinyas and Samharanyas, respectively. Then one should chant the mantra composed of 12 syllables, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, preceding each syllable by the Omkara. One should place the syllables of the mantra on the tips of the fingers. beginning with the index finger of the right hand and concluding with the index finger of the left. The four remaining syllables should be placed on the joints of the thumbs. Right, because you did eight with these ones, right? Then you're putting on the thumbs, 1, 2, 3, 4. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
One should then chant this mantra of six syllables, Om Vishnave Namaha. One should place the syllable Om on his heart, the syllable Vai on the top of his head, the syllable Sha between the eyebrows, the syllable Na on the tuft of his hair, Sika, and the syllable Ve between his eyes. The chanter of the mantra should then place the syllable Na on the joints of his body and meditate on the syllable Ma as being a weapon. He should thus become the perfect personification of the mantra. Thereafter, so it's not just putting it on, you actually have to, the mood, you have to, that's why it said, after sitting it and then becoming peaceful, then only. Yeah, like that. You know, so it's just, you know, in other words, it takes certain material qualifications. Thereafter, adding Visarga to the final syllable, Ma, he should chant the mantra, Maha Ashraya Fat, in all directions, beginning with the east. In this way, all directions will be bound by the protective armor of the mantra, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti specifies. One should place Ma Ashraya Fat in the eight directions as a Dik Bandana, binding the directions, right? So then, you know, the eight directions. East next to that, south next to that, west next to that, north next to that, like that. So you get the eight. Vishrup continued. After finishing this chanting, one should think himself qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full in six opulences and is worthy to be meditated upon. Then one should chant the following protective prayer to Lord Narayana, the Narayana Kavacha. So that's just the nyas that we did before. Right? So now is the Kavacha. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One should meditate on oneself as the Supreme Lord, desiring that one is not to be conquered by anyone else. This is called Aham Graho Pasana. One should chant the Narayana Kavacha mantra, the very form of knowledge, power, and austerity. Right? So we don't use this aham graho pasana. We don't use. It's a bona fide thing because the devotees will think themselves non-different, so that one can serve. While then the Mayavadis think that they're non-different means they've merged in Brahman, they've become Brahman. While the devotees think they're non-different means they're on the same spiritual platform, you know, qualitative platform. But they're servants and Krishna's Lord. Yes?
It's not that the shield is the weapon, or it just protects the devotees from the demons?
Well, if you're protected from the demons, then whatever you do, then does pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
So it's not like weapons that we hear from Arjuna, these mantras?
No. This isn't an astra as such. This is a kavacha, it's a protection. You know, so I mean, they can't do anything to you. So you mean you could, you know, go up to the, you know, to the, how you say, the demon king in front of you, and do a full vaudeville routine. You know, twisting his nose and slapping and doing all that stuff, and he could do nothing to you. So, right?
That sounds good.
Yes, you should be. Especially since the guy has a club with spikes all over it and a horn and a helmet with horns on it. Then you know, I forgot that syllable. Yeah. In his purport to the next verse, Srila Prabhupada comments. Though Ahang Graho Pashana, through Ahangraho Pashana, one does not become God, but he thinks of himself as qualitatively one with the Lord. Understanding that as the spirit soul, he is equal in quality to the supreme soul, the way water of a river is the same nature as the water of the sea. One should meditate upon the supreme Lord as described in this verse, referring to verse 12, and seek his protection. The living entities are always subordinate to the Supreme. Consequently, their duty is to always seek the mercy of the Lord in order to be protected by Him in all circumstances. Yes?
Yes,
that's one. That's Bhuta Shuddhi. So generally at that time, that would be where you'd use nyasas and all those kind of things. So no, I think you put the nyasas later. But the point is you do that, you do Dikbandhan at that time. So, you know, we also use the same thing. But we just don't do this Ahangrahapasana. Ahangrahapasana. Actually, I said it right. I'm impressed. Does that make sense? Yeah, but that does the same thing, because you're trying to remove the bodily conception. Here is meditating upon the Lord as a servant. There you're understanding I'm the servant. So it does the same, accomplishes the same. Verses 12 to 34, the chanting of the Narayana Kavacha prayers. In verses 12 to 34, Vishwarupa explains that after thus invoking this protective mantra, armor, so it's armor, right? One should recite the Narayana Kavacha prayers, which offer respects to various Vishnu forms of their weapons and associates, while asking for protection from relevant dangers in any time or place. Thus, understanding that no type of danger could stand up against the power of the Supreme Lord, one becomes free from fear. So you have to have that faith that because the Lord has been invoked, then there is no fear because the Lord's there. So if we're thinking, how is this going to work, then it hasn't. Yes.
It shows that they didn't have that type of faith that we spoke right now. Because they needed something more tangible, like this shield, even though it's quite subtle.
Yes, but still, even though they're using that, that will remind them of the Lord and then it will work.
And this is like they're very pious, but not the advanced as demigod.
That's the thing, because you see Prahlad Maharaj, and he's the pure devotee.
Yeah.
Then you don't see him doing. He just remembers the Lord. Because the whole point of this is to remember the Lord. So you're remembering the Lord, how the Lord, as the Supreme, is situated on the different parts of the body and protecting. But if you're just remembering the Lord directly, then...
He invokes the Lord just by... Yeah, sure, he's in the
room. Yeah. That's the thing. Because, yeah, that means, in other words, this is, will be... would be like the third or fourth stage of the actual levels of martial arts.
How many are there?
Five. The first is your regular, your standard martial moves. The second is all the secret ways of using them and the secret techniques. Right? Third is then, how you say, one can do amazing, physical feats. Does that make sense?
Like flying through the air like this?
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. They talk about it in Kalari, that the guys before, the guys that get up to that level, they can, jump off a 40-foot building. Mm. Nothing happens. Stuff like that. They can do all kinds of amazing physical stuff. Because, like, the standard thing... And use it just to give a end of, when you're working. Let's talk about the lower ones. When you're talking about the first level, you know how there's always the thing is when you're trying to you're moving with when a military personnel is trying to move and stay low to the ground. They crouch a bit or they get down on their elbows and then kind of go with their elbows and drag their feet behind them. But that's not so. The Kalari, it has a move where you're fully armed and you walk on your hands and feet, but they're spread out fully, so your stomach is just an inch or so off the ground. So you can imagine what physical strength that would take to deal fully armed. And so you're way lower than there because, what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's what, and this we're talking about is first level.
That's first level.
That's at least in the Vedic thing, that's first level.
So then
that may be advanced to first level, but that's first level. Even if we say that second or even you say third. The other thing is let's say, there's a wall.
Mm-hmm.
right? And you have to get over the wall if you want to, you know, to get to the other side. You fight. So they'll go up and they run and they jump and they hit the wall and they kind of flip themselves like this. They just fully armed, jump from the ground up to the top of the wall, land on their feet, and then check if it's worth jumping down or it's better to jump back. And then they jump down. Standard practice is, this is an 11-foot ceiling, right? They put a ball at 14 feet and you have to kick it. That's a standard practice. All the guys that just go and all the kids that learn, that's what they, you know, they'll put it lower. And that when you get up to 12, 14 feet, then you perfected that technique. That's what goes on today.
Today where?
Where they practice this stuff. Why, you want to know where to go join?
I want to increase my
okay, means, oh, that is not that you have a 2-week stint coming up and on the border and you just want to know if you fix
classes or anything anyway.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, no, in Kerala. It's a traditional form.
Is that unusual?
Huh? You might find a few, but whether those are real guys or just guys that kind of show stuff. In other words, the guys that are teaching karate and that, but they know that because that's the family line and they're not practicing it, then find someone who they only do this.
Okay.
Yes. You understand? So that's just the traditional
stuff.
So third means you have these special in power. You can do physically amazing stuff. Fourth is that the deity fights through you. So it's like you become like a Shakti Vesh for the fight. The fifth is the deity does the fighting and you do nothing. Yeah, you know, eating an apple, yeah. You know, checking up on Facebook, you know, like that. So that's the level that Prahlad Maharaj is on.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, they just think he's there, but he's actually on the top platform of martial arts. Because that's going to happen because of devotion. You know, these others also, you see, I think there's a story of Madhvacharya, where Madhvacharya and his group, they were going along, they were attacked by dacoits. And one of his disciples, he might have been like the smallest guy or something, the skinniest, smallest guy. And then he just started fighting them and defeating them with all kinds of amazing fighting techniques. And everybody's watching, and how is this possible? One disciple notices Madhvacharya in the back. Right. And he's doing all the moves, you know, but the disciple is then. So that's the fourth level.
Maybe that's where Hollywood takes their ideas.
Where?
Hollywood, like the skinniest, smallest guy, but if he has faith.
Oh, Hollywood, yes, oh, yes, yes.
If
he does have, yeah, very advanced. Very advanced material.
Just looking in the background for the
time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's called the director,
yeah.
and it's called that 100-man Indian crew on CGI. Yes, that's what it's called. Yes.
But one story from England, I believe, where one devotee was attacked in an alley or something by a bunch of guys. He started singing Shinga prayers, and suddenly they start fighting each other instead of attacking him. He left him alone and started punching each other.
Okay. See you later, boys.
There was also one story in, I think, Gangamars, maybe in New York somewhere. The temple was attacked.
Yes.
And everybody was scared of the devotees. The cook took the spoon.
Yeah, the cooking spoon.
Started yelling.
Yeah, no, it shocked everyone because he was like small little guy also. Yeah, no, that's that. So he just came out and roared Shringa Day or something like that, and everybody just stopped. Yeah, no, it was just the spoon that came out. And, like this. Everyone stopped, and then all the guys left.
But also, they were with the Hariatra crew going around, and they were kind of stopped by a motorcycle gang, just like at a rest stop or something. And these guys, heavy guys, started, you know, provoking cars around. He attacked them with a can of beans.
Open or closed?
Closed. He just stood, yeah, come on, come on. He's a dinky little guy, and he got these big bikes. And like, just something up with this guy who's so confident with his can of beans. I don't know. This is too.
This guy is full of beans.
You know, he must know something we don't know.
Okay, yes.
So
that's
just,
okay.
They back off.
Yeah, because they're just generally big and strong.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They don't know anything.
They don't know. So
they
have confidence with these guys.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Yeah. No, that's the point. Is because so therefore it's faith that actually makes the thing. That commitment to guru, and following the instructions, that faith, that's what makes it all work. Because people who move up in these fields, they have that faith. They have that. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So does that mean you always walk around with a can of beans in your bag? Just in case.
Yeah, you never know.
And if anything, at least if you get hungry, hey, you know. Vishwarupa continued, the Supreme Lord. Who sits on the back of the bird Garuda, touching him with his lotus feet, holds 8 weapons. The conch shell, disc, shield, sword, club, arrows, bow, and ropes. May that, let's see, again, was it conch shell, disc, those two, shield, sword, club, arrow, okay, bow and arrows, and club and ropes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead protect me at all times with his 8 arms. He is all-powerful because he fully possesses the 8 mystic powers, anima, lagima, etc. May the Lord, who assumes the body of a great fish, protect me in the water from the fierce animals that are associates of the demigod Varuna. All right, so in any aquatics. By expanding his illusory energy, the Lord assumes the form of the dwarf Vamana. May Vamana protect me on the land. Since the gigantic form of the Lord, Vishwarupa, conquers the 3 worlds, may he protect me in the sky. Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. Having prayed for general protection, one then utters mantras for protection by the Lord in forms as the presiding deities of particular places. Right, so then it means, how you say? In the water by Matsya, right? In the land by Vamana, and then, you know, because he conquered the whole earth, and then by his second step, he conquered the whole space. So that's water, earth, water, and air, right? Sky. Vishwarupa continued, may Lord Nrisingadeva, who appeared as the enemy of Hiranyakashipu, protect me in all directions. His loud laughing vibrated in all directions and caused the pregnant wives of the Asuras to give miscarriages. So this is now we're in the, right, the sixth mana, the Chakshusha, right? Yeah, we're before this one. So this is in the last mana, like that. So that pastime Hiranyakashipu has already taken place, so that's being referred to here. But even it's always there in every universe, but still, when he manifests, then it makes it all. May that Lord be kind enough to protect me in difficult places like the forest and battlefront. Because right, those are very dangerous places just on their own. The Supreme Indestructible Lord is ascertained through the performance of ritualistic sacrifices and is therefore known as Yageshwara. In his incarnation as Lord Boar, he raised the planet Earth from the water at the bottom of the universe and kept it on his pointed tusks. Right, because Varaha is Yageshwara. He's the Lord of Sacrifice. Means Krishna himself is the Lord, but specifically the as the deity of sacrifices, that's Varahadev. I'm not sure. It's here. He lifted the earth. May the Lord protect me from May that Lord protect me from rogues on the street.
Imagine if you're on the street, there's a rogue, or
knocks them all down.
Yeah.
Okay. His hair is kusa grass. His nostrils are, you know, that the small spoon that has the, that you put the ghee in the fire, it has the split. That's his nose. The bigger one that has the front, that's the curve, that's his lip. So he's the form of sacrifice. Just to annoy those who would get annoyed, but he's a pig. May Parasaram protect me on the tops of mountains, and may the elder brother of Bharata, Lord Ramachandra, along with his brother Lakshmana, protect me in foreign countries. Srila Prabhupada comments. There are three Ramas, right? So that's why it mentions which Rama it is. Like that. Because one Rama is Parasu Rama, Jamadagnya Rama. Another is Rama is Lord Ramachandra. And the third Rama is Lord Balaram. You know, so they generally give some way to distinguish. So the son of Jamadagni, that's Parasaram. That's that Ram. Then Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshman, that Ram. And then the third is Balaram, so the son of Rohini. Like that. That's how you know the three Ramas. In this verse, the words Ramo, Dri, Kutesh, Vata indicate Lord Parasaram, the brother of Bharat Maharaj, and Lakshman is Lord Ramachandra. Srila Prabhupada comments. Oh no, that was the comments. Vishwarupa continued. May Lord Narayana protect me from unnecessarily following false religious systems and falling from my duties due to madness. Because otherwise, if you follow what's improper, you won't be able to take shelter of the Lord, therefore you won't get the benefits that this Tavacha offers. May the Lord in His appearance, you know, in other words, being distracted by Maya, may we not take up false religions. May the Lord in His appearance as Nara protect me from unnecessary pride. May Lord Dattatreya, the master of all mystic power, protect me from falling while performing bhakti yoga. And may Lord Kapila, the master of all good qualities, protect me from the material bondage of fruitive activities. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. He recites mantras to protect himself from obstacles caused by himself and caused by others in four verses. Ugra Dharmat means from cursing and spells. Hasat means from pride. And Ayogat means from falling from yoga. Vishru continued. May Sanat Kumar protect me from lusty desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Because Hayagriva represents the Shastras or authority, so that comes from the Lord. Footnote 3. In his Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 106, paragraphs 62-63, Srila Jiva Goswami says that reciting this verse is the proper atonement for the offense mentioned in the Gautamiya Tantra. A person who worships Lord Gopal but disrespects other deities kills the present and previous pious credits he has earned. Okay. May Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshiping the deity. And may Lord Kurma, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets. Lusty desires are very strong in everyone, and they are the greatest impediments to the discharge of devotional service. Therefore, those who are very much influenced by lusty desires are advised to take shelter of Sanat Kumar, the great brahmachari devotee. Right? He is all that here is the great brahmachari, so therefore one can maintain brahmacharya. But at the same time, one can say, well, why specifically him? Because he is also human. So therefore, if you pray to Cupid to not be affected by Cupid, there's no one better than Cupid to not affect you.
Qualified.
Yes, he would be. Yes, he would be in the qualified position to not bother you. Yes. I don't remember if they're... You remember that? The Jivas are... That would have been discussed, I think, in the Bhagavatam Rita. So I know it was a major discussion, that part. Like that, but it's one of those that, you know, until you hear it a few times, it doesn't stick. It makes sense, but it doesn't stick. Okay. So we see here, it's not just, you know, that people can't bother me, but it's also that I'm protected from making offenses and deity worship offenses, the Vaishnavas, becoming overwhelmed by material desire, you know, anything that's going to distract. In other words, removes all the obstacles of devotional service. This whole kavacha, right? Because that's what he's talking about here, you know, of being an offender to the Lord, being an offender, you know, getting overcome by material desires, etc. May Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshipping the deity. And may Lord Kurma, the Torah, oh, we already did that. Okay. Narad Muni, who is the guide for Archana, is the author of the Narada Pancharatra, which prescribes the regulative principles for worshipping the deity. Everyone engaged in deity worship, whether at home or in the temple, should always seek the mercy of Devarshi Narada in order to avoid the 32 offenses while worshipping the deity. And so by his grace, then, the deity worship nice. Yes? Depends how you see them. If it's Keshava Drita Nadahadi Rupa, then it works. If you just are looking at the Shringadeva and not understanding he's Krishna, then better stick to Krishna. But there's different aspects of Krishna. So you're referring to the other deities. Means you take shelter of the Lord, it works. Palad Maharaj is just thinking of the Lord, that's all. He's not using kavachas, he's not using all that. But it works. The point is to be absorbed in the Lord, that's what works. Right? So you don't have to worry about so many other deities. Like all the 10 avatars, we only actually worship Mishunyadeva. Does that make sense? The others, they may be there, you know, what we respect. But it's not that we specifically, it's a prominent element for us to respect the other avatars.
It's not wrong. If somebody is bothered by something, that they may pray for a specific avatar.
You can, but you also just pray to Krishna, and because all the other, he is avatari, so all avatars come from him. So then one doesn't need to pray to anybody else. So in other words, if you're in front of Nisringadeva, you're going to ask for his protection and his blessings like that. But if you're having problems, just remember Krishna. Because we see Krishna is quite competent. You know, in Vrindavan, he killed, you know, so many big asuras that even the demigods couldn't kill. Like that. You know, they were giving everybody problems, and then Krishna, you know, kills them very easily. You know, he does it like a child. You know. So that's the point. When it says child's play, then it means child's play. Yes, like that. Oh, I see. Over here, it's much more entertaining. Over that side, you just have people on the road yelling and screaming in tractors. So crazy kids. Yeah, no, that was, maybe it's too hot to go out earlier or something.
I think they come back around 6.
Oh.
Okay.
And then they stop, and then they run back. Yeah. They should have the camera there set up, and they just have the button. When they come, you just...
Yeah,
of all the guys that run down the stairs. Yeah. Okay. Right, so in other words, we have to be careful about the deity worship and all that. So it's something that we worry about. So, like Narada preaches, and Narada does deity worship. Right? These are the two things he preaches about. How not to be attached, you know, perform your duties connected to Krishna, not be attached, and, you know, how to properly perform deity worship. Because deity worship also is Naishkarmya. Right? Vishwarupa continued, "May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His incarnation as Dhanvantari, relieve me from undesirable eatables and protect me from physical illness." No, it's just how you could interpret undesirable eatables.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's like, you know, how you say, you know, your in-laws cooking or something.
No, just the feelings after.
Huh?
You ate the desirable eatables.
Oh, I see.
The day after, they become the undesirable.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you're meaning from a bad stomach. Okay. Okay. And from physical illness, right? Because physical illness comes when the stomach is off, right? So those things don't make you sick, and that then you get ill. So everything starts from the stomach. May Lord Rishabhdev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. Yeah, because duality is what causes all our problems. You know, because whichever it is, it's hot now, you wish it was colder. When it's cold, you wonder when it's going to warm up. You know? Yeah, it's interesting, is that you have the heat, it's cold, you have the heating. What you put the heating up to is where you turn on the AC in the summer. No? That's the whole point, it's all perception. Yeah, and in the winter, that I remember I would be like in Germany and stuff, but I've had heater on, it would be 23 degrees. Devotees who walk in the room, you know, they freak out as if they just, you know, walked into, how you say, you know, walked into the third camp at Auschwitz or something. You know, like that, you know. Germany, what do you want? Yes, so like that. But at the same time, as if it was hot out and you had the AC and it was on 23 or something, they go, oh, nice, great. You know, that's the whole thing. It's just, we get disturbed by duality.
And if you have the AC on in the summer, you put it on so much that it's so cold that if it was winter, it would be uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because it's summer, then it's like...
Yeah. It's just like in winter, if it warms up a bit, you don't have to use the blanket, you just use the sheet. You think that's nice.
That's nice.
But then in the summer, you put the AC on, so you have to use a blanket.
Yeah.
it's... Well. Yeah, it's, that's the...
Yeah.
Yes. I see. So you could try no fan, no blanket.
No.
I guess it's like chaat, you know, you have it's hot and you know, you have the chili and then you have the sweet and you have the yogurt and you have the, you know, it's like that. May Yajna protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. And may Lord Balaram Asesha protect me from envious serpents. Right, so Yajna is Lord of Yajna. So it's by sacrifice also. Then that's how we're protected. May the personality of Godhead in His incarnation as Vyasadeva protect me from all kinds of ignorance resulting from the absence of Vedic knowledge. May Lord Buddhadev protect me from activities opposed to Vedic principles and from laziness that causes one to madly forget the Vedic principles of knowledge and ritualistic action. Right? Because Buddhadev is the one who takes them away. So then he's the one that can protect you from that. Yeah. May Kalkideva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as an incarnation to protect religious principles, protect me from the dirt of the age of Kali. Right? So it's not just, oh, it's Kali, what can we do? It's, you know, we want to protect ourselves. Srila Prabhupada comments, this verse mentions various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appear for various purposes. Srila Vyasadeva, Mahamuni, compile the Vedic literature for the benefit of all human society. One wants to be protected from the reactions of ignorance, even in this age of Kali. One may consult the books left by Srila Vyasadeva, Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapurana, Vyasadeva's commentary on the Brahma Sutra, and the other 17 Puranas. Only by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva do we have so many volumes of transcendental knowledge to save us from the clutches of ignorance. So it's through the Vedic literature that he gives, that's how we'll protect ourselves. So by studying the Shastras, by the grace of Vyasadeva, then we're able to study and then we're able to be protected from the effects of Kali Yuga that come up from not following the Vedic version.
How it's funny how in the West it's seen as a weakness that we ascribe all these things to Vyasadeva. Like there's no individuality, there's no assertion of the self. You're just kind of self eradicating your own kind of identity for the common all. But actually, from these relationships that we're able to have, from that humility, we're able to protect ourselves
from ignorance.
Ignorance. So it's again the
because it's natural for them, being so individualistic that they have to follow specifically only the academic method.
Yes.
They have to exactly follow what their mentor says, and they have to exactly write the thesis with 500 bibliographies, and that's the only way to do it, because you're bringing out your individuality, right?
True. Exactly.
Yes, that's the whole point. So individual.
They're taking the exploitation as a given. They can't actually understand what they have.
No, the point is you have, it's just like if somebody was in quantum, what books would they study? Okay. Yeah, so now they lose their individuality because they all study the same books. Or, you know. It is just envy. That's all. Because their thing is that only the modern academy actually knows. Right? Let us say a devotee does Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Bhav, gets degrees at that, And so, or goes on and gets higher than that. And a devotee does outside a PhD. There's a good chance that devotee who did the PhD feels he's a superior intellectual than the devotee who's done the other. Just hands down. They don't, well, how do you call that? How do you think, I put in all this, it's like, yeah. So, what to do?
Which devotee was it who said, I'm not qualified because I'm a PhD, I'm qualified because Prabhupada gave me permanent
education? Yeah, but that's smart.
Yeah.
Yes, but that would probably be someone who's a PhD before they met Prabhupada.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Then they see is that's not my qualification. Yeah. What I'm talking about, the ones that are more dangerous, are the ones that have second initiation. Then they do their PhD.
Yeah.
Like that. They may do nicely, they may not do nicely. You have to, it's like that, so it's very individual.
The dangerous part is they go out of the association of devotees.
Yes, like that. But then you see those who come that full circle, then they understand the position. Like that. Like someone was telling me, it was just, I think it was last year, the year before, one devotee who's PhD and was working in that sphere, and that's how he maintained, that was his occupation and everything, and he was part of the whole ISKCON, Western academic, how you say, vastly overrated, circle. Yes. And so then, at one point he just came to the end of that and just moved back into just regular old straightforward preaching, going out and doing what people used to always do before. They could just see this is so much better. And here's someone who actually has, done both and did that fully. It wasn't that he just got it and he didn't do anything more, right? He was actually in the academy for 20, 30 years. And then he just says, oh, okay, enough of been there, done that. He moves out. So you see like that, as many individuals, they go through and then they come out. Like Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, he preaches like that. So like that,
that makes sense? You know, Kamal Krishnamurti was out preaching. But a lot of them, they go into that, and you hardly see them do anything.
No, yes.
You know, they do their job, and they don't want to do these other things because they don't want to rock the boat and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they become the professors so they can push forward Krishna consciousness, but it's the undergraduates who preach on campus and run the Hare Krishna Club and make the devotees. And they're the ones that, you know, sometimes, yeah, don't know them, or sometimes send people, well, you could go check these people out. And like that, yeah. Only by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva do we have so many volumes of transcendental knowledge to save us from the clutches of ignorance. As described by Srila Jayadeva Goswami in his Dasavatar Stotra, Lord Buddha apparently decried the Vedic knowledge. Nindasi yagyavidher ahaha shruti jatam sadhaya hridaya darshita pashut natam keshavidrita buddha sharira jai jagadish hare. The mission of Lord Buddha was to save people from the abominable activity of animal killing and to save the poor animals from being unnecessarily killed. When Pashandis were cheating by killing animals on the plea of sacrificing them in Vedic yagyas, the Lord said, "The Vedic injunctions allow animal killing. I do not accept the Vedic principles." Thus, he actually saved people who acted according to Vedic principles. One should therefore surrender to Lord Buddha so that he can help one avoid misusing the instructions of the Vedas. So that's the point, is that's the principle of what Buddha was doing. Right? It wasn't stopping them from following the Veda, he was stopping from misusing the Veda. Right? So if they were properly using the Veda, what's the need to come and take them away? But because they were Prashandis, so they were actually offensive to the Veda, they're just using the Veda for their own purpose. Then he took them away from the Veda because they claimed, no, the Veda says, but that's not what the Veda says. The Vedas, you know, usually be focused on the Lord. So they're not going to be focused on the Lord how the Vedas recommend. They're just into the sense gratification. So therefore he takes them away, and then they meditate on Buddha, who's the Lord. The Kalki avatar is the fierce incarnation who vanquishes the class of atheists born in this age of Kali. Now in the beginning of Kali Yuga, so many irreligious principles are in effect. And as Kali Yuga advances, many pseudo-religious principles will certainly be introduced. And people will forget the real religious principles enunciated by Lord Krishna before the beginning of Kali Yuga. Namely, principles of surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, foolish persons do not surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Even most people who claim to belong to the Vedic system or religion are actually opposed to the Vedic principles. Every day they manufacture a new type of dharma on the plea that whatever one manufactures is also a path of liberation. Like, so some preach like that. You know, whatever path you take, it'll get you to the same goal. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's try that. Let's take those sannyasis, you know, down to the bus station, and we're going to a program, let's say in Murshidabad, and we'll put them all on different buses. None of them going to Murshidabad, but each one on a different one. Let's see how well the program goes, because all buses go to the same place, right? Yeah. Atheistic men generally say jato mat tato pat. That's the saying that we just... According to this view, there are hundreds and thousands of different opinions in human society. And each opinion is a valid religious principle. Right? You want to confuse people.
Yeah.
Right? Buddha, the others are confusing him, but they're taking him to a specific path.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they confuse him. Oh, whatever you're thinking, that's the path.
Right.
So that means nobody actually follows religion. Right? Because the others, at least there had to be an authority. Though they'll make up things anyway. But here you say, no, what you're making up is great.
Yeah. When we say that Buddhism actually comes from anger, right? That is difficult to preach in the West because it's looked upon as something also peaceful and kind and sort of...
Yeah, for people who kill cows, then it is.
Or is that just in comparison with...
No, the point is it is something to make them peaceful.
Mm.
But why would you take up that path?
because you're so angry that nothing, karma doesn't work, yon doesn't work, it doesn't make you happy. Therefore, in anger, then if there's nothing. Right? And so then, the idea is then, because you're angry, then you have to become peaceful. Right? They were killing animals, so there must be envy, there must be all these qualities, so therefore to make them peaceful. You know, make, but you know, that vegetarian.
Yeah, so the anger is actually with the merchants. And then they take off Buddhism because their lives
Yeah, and then they'll
so
find it really nice because it's based just on making you peaceful. Well, ours isn't about becoming peaceful.
No.
It's a side thing. Ours is peace is not a goal.
No.
It comes as a side thing. Ours is developing love for the Lord.
And actually, when you look at ours from the outside, it doesn't look always... I mean, for someone like that,
because the thing is they can't tell the difference between what's material and spiritual. That's what we're discussing. That's the whole point that we're going through. What's material? What's spiritual? What's the actual spiritual point? So when you connect something to the Lord, it's spiritualized, because the point is everything being Krishna, it's non-different. But unless you see that, you won't get the benefit of it being spiritualized. Right? In other words, if I'm taking what's already Krishna, not seeing it as Krishna, and therefore this is what's identified as the material world, then... The point is if I connect it to Krishna, Krishna will be happy, because now at least an area that this area that I've not connected before, now I am. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why then it's about connecting to the Lord. So, but from externally it looks the same. That's why then people can't tell the difference. They can't tell what's karma, what's yon, what's bhakti. You know, what's nice they're considered is not nice, what's not nice is considered nice. Yeah, it's just like, okay, the parent is keeping the teenager from doing something crazy. Teenager is saying, you're ruining me life, you hate me, you know, I hate you, and this and that, you don't care about me. So they're interpreting it, actually, what it's just the opposite. It's because they care, that's why they're putting restrictions. That's the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance always switches things. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. So then that's what we'll get. This philosophy of rascals has killed the religious principles mentioned in the Vedas. And such philosophers will become increasingly influential as Kali Yuga progresses. In the last stage of Kali Yuga, Kalki days, the fierce incarnation of Keshava will descend to kill all the atheists and will save only the devotees of the Lord. Right? Because the point is now they've gotten to the point there's no point in discussing anymore. Right? So he just kills them all. This way they're liberated, and then the slate is clean, they start from neutral. Right? And then they can progress forward. Otherwise they just get so stuck that they can't. Yeah. Vishwarup continued, "May Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. May Lord Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayana, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day. And may Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day." Footnote 4. In his Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheda 153, paragraphs 22-24, Srila Jiva Goswami refers to this verse in the following context. 22. In the stage of Svarasiki, realization, the various pastimes of Lord Krishna appear before the devotee like a continuously flowing Ganges river. Some of these Svarasiki pastimes become recorded in various mantras, and thus the mantra-upasana stage of realization may be compared to a series of lakes within the Ganges River of Svarasiki realization. In the mantra-upasana stage, one hears about Lord Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, and the residents of Brajabhumi, whereas in the Svarasiki stage, one is able to directly see Lord Krishna and his associates. From this, we may understand that the Svarasiki stage is very elevated and difficult to achieve. The most confidential matters are understandable in that Swarasiki stage. stage of realization. The Swarasiki stage is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authoritative source of spiritual knowledge, and many Swarasiki pastimes are described in its verses. The following verses, 6, 8, 20, describe Lord Krishna's unmanifest, apricot pastimes, seen in the Swarasiki stage. The pastimes are presented in the form of mantras to be chanted by devotees in the mantra upasana stage. Right, so we are on okay, we haven't said what. Okay, 19, okay, 20. This one. So this is mantra upasana, and this is being chanted, as you say, in this okay, so this Swarasiki stage, this is then what we're hearing about. Right? And so we're taking it just as this Kavacha thing, that this is actually an advanced stage of remembrance of Lord and his pastimes. But it's just giving various portions, like it says, like little lakes that are in the Ganges. There'll be some area where there's a bigger thing of water in there. So they're focusing on these points. But otherwise, it's a continuous flow. Does that make sense? So you're just taking this part of Krishna's pastime. But actually, the whole pastime is just this is running. Does that make sense? So here's much higher levels of realization that we haven't even gotten around to yet.
We did study that in
Ramasana. It mentioned those.
Rama, his meditation.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is verse 20. Okay. And then, he elaborated. Oh, that was the footnote of Jiva Goswami. Okay, so this is Vishwanath. He recites mantras for protection during different times through the presiding deities of those times in three verses. Keshava is the lord of Mathura. Pratardina lasts until the end of the fifth Gatika from sunrise. One Gatika is 24 minutes. Govinda is the lord of Vrindavan. Asangava starts from the sixth Gatika and lasts until the tenth Gatika. Prahana lasts from the 11th Gatika until the 15th Gatika. And Madhyandina, noon, lasts from the 16th Gatika to the 20th Gatika. So then also in times, the Lord is the Lord of the different times, because everything's the Lord. So this kind of breakdown, you can go on unlimitedly. You know, like that. But just the major elements are brought out for us. But otherwise, they can get down into, you know, atomic time. You can divide the, you know, how you say, the, whatever it is, the, you know, these, well, I can't even remember what they're called, but these little, you know, the short little things. Then you can even divide those up, which deities in charge and stuff like this.
Plank units.
Huh?
Plank units.
Plank units.
Miserable.
Time.
Yes.
The plank, yeah. So then, you know, the first one is this deity, the first so many of this deity, that one. Vishru continued. May Lord Madhusudana, who carries a bow very fearfully for the demons, protect me during the fifth part of the day. Right? So then, what is it? One Gatika is 24 minutes. Right? So then, that means Pratardina lasts until the end of the fifth. So it means five Gatikas at a time. So 24 times 5 is 2 hours. Okay, so now this is 2 hours of visions. Right? Well, we had, before it was, what do you call them? 3 hour divisions? Yamas. Right? And then they have those as divisions. So all that, Krishna being time, so there's so many ways that you can divide. In the evening, may Lord Madhava, appearing as Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, protect me. And in the beginning of night, may Lord Hrishikesha protect me. At the dead of night, in the second and third parts of night, may Lord Padmanabha alone protect me. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bears the Srivatsa on his chest,
protect me after midnight until the sky becomes pinkish. May Lord Janarda, who carries a sword in his hand, protect me at the end of night during the last four ghatikas of night. May Lord Damodar protect me in the early morning, and may Lord Vishveshwara protect me during the junctions of day and night. Set into motion by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wandering in all the four directions, the disc of the Supreme Lord has sharp edges, as destructive as the fire of devastation at the end of the millennium. As a blazing fire burns dry grass to ashes with the assistance of the breeze, may that Sudarshan Chakra burn our enemies to ashes. O club, in the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you produce sparks of fire as powerful as thunderbolts, and you are extremely dear to the Lord. I am also his servant. Therefore, kindly help me pound to pieces the evil living beings known as Kushmandas, Vainayakas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhuta, and Grahas. Please pulverize them. O best of conchels, O Panchanjanya, in the hands of the Lord, you are always filled with the breath of Lord Krishna. Therefore, you create a fearful sound vibration that causes trembling in the hearts of enemies like the Rakshasas, Pramata ghosts, Pretas, Matas, Pisachas, and Brahma ghosts with fearful eyes. O king of sharp-edged swords, you are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please cut the soldiers of my enemies to pieces. Please cut them to pieces. O shield marked with a hundred brilliant moonlight circles, please cover the eyes of the sinful enemies. Pluck out their sinful eyes. May the glorification of the transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead protect me from the influence of bad planets, meteors, envious human beings, serpents, scorpions, and animals like tigers and wolves. May it protect us from ghosts and the material elements like earth, water, fire, and air. May it also protect us from lightning and our past sins. We are always afraid of these hindrances to our auspicious life. Therefore, may they all be completely destroyed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Lord Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is the most worshipable Lord, for he is as powerful as the Supreme Lord himself. He is the personified Vedas and is worshipped by select verses. May he protect us from all dangerous conditions. And may Lord Vishvakshena, the Personality of Godhead, also protect us from all dangers by his holy names. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead's holy names, his transcendental forms, his carriers, and all the weapons decorating him as personal associates protect our intelligence, senses, mind, and life heirs from all dangers. 21-30, Srila Prabhupada comments. There are various associates of the transcendental personality of Godhead, and his weapons and carrier are among them. In the spiritual world, nothing is material. The sword, bow, club, disc, and everything decorating the personal body of the Lord are spiritual living force. Therefore, the Lord is called Advayagyana, indicating that there is no difference between him and his name, form, qualities, weapons, and so on. Anything pertaining to him is in the same category of spiritual existence. They are all engaged in the service of the Lord in varieties of spiritual forms. Vishnu continued, the subtle and gross cosmic manifestation is material, but nevertheless it is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because it is ultimately the cause of all. He is ultimately the cause of all causes. So the universal form is material, but it's still non-different from Krishna. But Krishna is different from it, right? But the point is that being non-different from Krishna, therefore taking shelter of all these different aspects, then you're still taking shelter of Krishna, right? So that's why if you take shelter of just Krishna exclusively, all these other things are taken care of, because within Krishna, everything else here is included, right? So that's the point, is that if one has faith in all these aspects, then if you have faith in Krishna, you get all these aspects along with it. There's nothing separate. Right? Yes. Cause and effect are factually one,
because the cause is present in the effect. Therefore, the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can destroy all our dangers by any of his potent part. Right? Because the cause and effect are non-different, because the effect, you see the cause in the effect. Right? So there's a non-difference. So therefore, in the effect you see here, then the Lord is there.
Is this the ascending process that you look at the effect and then you try to see?
That, or you see, is that he is the cause, so therefore he is the effect. You know, either way you use it. Right? Can destroy all our dangers by any of his potential parts. So any part of the Lord, he can protect you. So the Lord himself, his weapons, his different incarnations, his different potencies throughout anywhere he can protect. The pillar, yes, the pillar worked very well for Prahlad Maharaj. Like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The Lord is actually this universe made of cause and effect, sadasak, because it rises from his external energy, his Shakti. By that vow, may all our misfortunes be destroyed. This means, quote, if the Lord is actually the universe, our misfortunes will certainly be destroyed. This is similar to saying, if the Vedas are proof, then certainly it will happen. So that's the point. It's connected to the Lord, see it connected to the Lord, then everything goes nicely. See it separate from the Lord, there's a problem. So this modern concept where we'll do things by being practical and we can't get into all this, you know, how you say, theoretical philosophy. We're just trying to get things done. Then it's never going to be successful. It'll always create problems. But if you see everything in connection to the Lord, that's how things will get done. So learning the skills to do those things is the easiest part. That's why it only is a few days seminar. Actually learning what it's about, what it's for, that's the hard part. Does that make sense? Yeah. Vishru continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entities, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the entire creation are all individual substances. In the ultimate analysis, however, together they constitute the Supreme One, the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge see unity in diversity. Right? Because there's all this diversity, but it's all unity because it's all the Lord. It's just different aspects of the Lord. For such advanced persons, the Lord's bodily decorations, his name, his fame, his attributes and his forms, and the weapons in his hands are manifestations of the strength of his potency. According to their elevated spiritual understanding, the omniscient Lord, who manifests various forms, is present everywhere. May he always protect us everywhere from all calamities. 32-33. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Just as the Lord, who is non-different, Vikalpa Rahita, from his Shaktis, which are one because of being spiritual, holds these Shaktis, such as ornaments, weapons, forms, and names, by that truth may he protect us. Ornaments refers to such things as Kustuba. Weapons means such things as chakra. Forms are the four-armed and two-armed forms. These and his names are his shaktis, which are transformations of his Sarup Shakti. Right? That's why it says he manifests through his internal potency. Right? So it's non-different from him. It is him. But he's still manifesting all this through his energies. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. He is himself, he is everything. You know, that everything is him, but it's his energies. But he's non-different from his energies. So that's the head-scratching part of the equation here. Right? So one is appreciating this, that everything is him, but at the same time he is a person that's different. Right? He is everything, but he is a person. He has his desires, his interests. Then we can see, you know, then you'll see that person in everything, because the cause is in the effect. So that means you can look at any part of his creation and see Krishna.
But this is beyond logic.
It's beyond logic, because yes, you have to be able to be functioning with multiple things that seemingly are contradictory at once.
And that's, yes, so it's only by mercy. So that's why they have so much problem. You know, because if they could understand that things happen simultaneously, there would be no argument between the particle theory and the string theory.
No.
But because of that, then they're opposite ends, and, you know, I say, you know, they might as well be, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, they're just, they're not going to get along.
Yeah.
You know, each one thinks the other one is not a scientist. So that's one of the things that when physicists get married and they marry another physicist, one of the first points is, are they both string theory or are they both particle theory? Because if one of them is the other, then that's it. The marriage is not going to work. Yes, it should be equal nature. And then you hope that this child will be the same, because if they're different, that they take the other, then you got a problem.
Yes.
Walk in one day and start talking about particle theory.
I've been thinking about particle theory.
You know, that's it. The father became catatonic for the next 3 days. Like that. The Lord endowed with his Swarup Shakti, Swamayaya, his external energy arising from his Swarup, supports these transformations of his Swarup Shakti. Right? So he's, because he is the support, so he supports all these transformations. So his Swarup Shakti, there's the internal, there's the external. So it's not the one turns on the other. Swarup Shakti means it's the total of all Shakti. So it has these two aspects, just like we're one and one of the aspects. Madhva quotes from Shruti in this regard. Ato mayamayam vishnum pravadanti manishina. The wise say Vishnu is composed of maya, his internal energy. If it is true that the Lord is non-different from his ornaments, weapons, and forms, since they arise from his Swarup Shakti, by this true proof, may the Lord, who is all-pervading in time and place, protect us by all his forms, such as those mentioned in verse 12. The Lord's omniscience, or the Lord's being omniscient, indicates that he knows our faith in him that we hold in our minds. Therefore, he knows this condition we are expressing. Right? So, because you're trying to do, he's unlimited, but he understands what you're trying to express. So, therefore, he reciprocates. Right? Like that? So, we have faith, he knows that. He reciprocates that. We don't have faith, he knows that. He reciprocates. So, whatever is our position, Krishna reciprocates. But, if there's anything positive, that's the main focus. So that's why we keep devotional services the main focus, even if we're not very developed, even if we're chanting in the offensive stage, even if everything's not so developed, we still try to make that the prominent point of the life, even if it doesn't take up very much of our life. Right? Because then Krishna will reciprocate with that prominently. But if we put that in the background and make our other aspects of our life prominent, then Krishna will reciprocate there. Like with Daksha. He had just material desire. The Lord reciprocated in an amazing way on his material desire. But you see, it still gives him trouble. Just because it was given by the Lord doesn't mean it doesn't give trouble. Right? Because the whole point is it's supposed to be connected to the Lord. So we see is that's why there's a difference made between opulence that comes by bhakti in devotional service, which doesn't go away, and opulence that's maybe given by the grace of the Lord, but because it's based on the material principle, it tends to go away. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada adds, as a fire, although existing in one place, can expand its light and heat everywhere, so the omnipotent Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although situated in his spiritual abode, expands himself everywhere in both the material and spiritual worlds by his various energies.
Vishnu Purana 122:52. Since both cause and effect are the Supreme Lord, there's no difference between cause and effect. Consequently, the ornaments and weapons of the Lord, being expansions of His spiritual energy, are not different from Him. There's no difference between the Lord and His variously presented energies. Right? So that's the thing, there's no difference. Because you say, how can Krishna be everywhere? His energy is Him. It's non-different from Him. But it's not Him, the person. It's the effect. But because He's the cause, it's non-different. But at the same time, as the cause, the person is at the same time different, because we're talking about personality. Does that make sense? You know, you'll be able to see some aspect of Krishna's personality and everything, but the full manifestation is there in the person. Just like the person has a house, he has grounds, he has a garden, like that. You can see the personality of the person there, but it's still not the person. Does that make sense?
You see a Rembrandt or a Monet, you call it a Rembrandt or a Monet, but it's not.
It's not a Rembrandt. It's not a Rembrandt. There's so many Rembrandts. Or the real Rembrandt.
Yes.
Okay. Vishwarup continued. Prahlad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Nrisingadev. May Lord Nrisingadev, roaring for his devotee Prahlad Maharaj, protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions, through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by His own transcendental influence. May Nrisingadev protect us in all directions and in all corners, above, below, within, and without. Right? Because He's the Lord of... This Hiranyakashipu is trying to get this, but you know, he wasn't so good at it, because Krishna fits in the cracks. You know, so therefore, if you have Krishna protecting you, no one can bother you. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Though he concluded his prayers for being protected by various forms of the Lord, he again prays with one mantra for protection from all unfavorable things by invoking the terrifying form of Nrisingadev. The verb, please protect us, should be added. Or, Nrisingha may mean the devotee of Nrisingha, Prahlad. In that case, the meaning would be, may Prahlad, who destroys fear in this world by loudly chanting the name of Nrisingha, who swallows up all the powers of all elements, weapons, poison, and elephants of the directions by his own powers, please protect us. Right, so Prahlad Maharaj is destroying the fear of this world by always chanting the glories of Nrisingadev. So may that Nrisingadev, who is glorified by Prahlad Maharaj, may he protect us. Because otherwise, just Nrisingadev, that what's our relationship? But the relationship with Prahlad Maharaj, now that's good. So we, as servants of Prahlad Maharaj, may the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj, may he protect us. Right? So again, we see it comes back to the devotee. Does that make sense? So that's the conclusion of the whole thing, is that we take shelter of the Lord's devotees, and in this way take shelter of their instructions to and serve the Lord. That way then we're protected from everything. See? Okay, so end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.